Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or just visiting family in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in Hawaii, at Alani, Hilton Head Island, or good old Walt Disney World, stay at the Poly, Old Key West, Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach Club, Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian, or don't forget the Animal Kingdom, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the Central Florida resorts, if you want to go to Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, again, visiting family, contact scootorlando.com. Show's also being brought to you by our friends and your friendly travel agent in me at American Tourist Travel. If you want to go to Walt Disney World, contact me and I'll be sure to help you out. Or anywhere else in the world, contact American Tourist Travels at americantouristtravels.com. And last but not least, head over to our website at It's All in WDW to check out all of our great sponsors. Okay, guys, we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Bye-bye.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. John, where are we located? What's your beautiful view this morning?
Ooh, a very foggy, misty Walmart parking lot this morning in fine Bushnell, Florida.
Oh, my God. It must be so beautiful this time of morning.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. Actually, I can't see more than 50 feet in front of me. The fog really rolled in yesterday.
So it's basically the best out Walmart's ever looked.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty this morning. All I see is palm trees in front of me, so it's pretty nice. So.
I was watching the video while I was waiting for you to text me. Everybody knows it's redundant that I say it all the time, but I play YouTube videos while we're recording on the big screen in the room. And I had somebody walking through the main gates with 4K this morning. I don't know who it was, or I'd give them a plug, to be honest with you, John. But they were 4K, and they went from the front of the Magic Kingdom at dark, like at, you know, nighttime, through the Magic Kingdom all the way down Main Street. My God, again, dude, I know I say it so many times, but it's so beautiful. I mean, Disney does do Main. There's nothing more beautiful than Main Street walking down.
Yeah, I was there this week. We did the different hubs this week of buses and showed where the break rooms are, where you clock in and all that stuff. And so did the Magic Kingdom and showed us the break room and stuff, but to get there you have to walk right across right through the main entrance and right under the tunnel and right into Main Street. So it's pretty cool, actually. So
now that sounds awesome, John.
So yeah.
You're getting to see really some cool new things on the bus too, right?
Oh yeah, saw a lot of new stuff this week. We did the Epcot shuttle, so I had to ride that all the way around to understand if I have to drive that, what the route is there. So all backstage of Epcot, and the third water bridge, you know, because there are three water bridges at Walt Disney World, so we went under the third one. Saw all of backstage Epcot.
Now, tell everybody that don't know, John, where the three water bridges are. I know where they are because I'm a geek. But you tell everybody,
right. Well,
John.
One is obviously right there by the Contemporary, and on that's on World Drive, you know, the one right there on the monorail line. And then there's one on Epcot Resorts Boulevard, which is, of course, by in between Boardwalk and Yacht and Beach Club. And then the third one is backstage of Epcot.
So nobody gets to see the one backstage, but it's cool.
Just us really, really cool people.
Yeah, it's just you cool guys. One, dude, it amazes me every time because me and Brendai, yeah, I've told you before, Brendai. Who's this Brendai I speak
of? Yeah, who is Brendai?
Brendai. Me and Brenda. We when we ride, go over to Wilderness Lodge in the morning and then ride the boats to the Magic Kingdom, it's amazing. It's amazing every time you go across that water bridge.
Yeah, and it's really cool. We saw the actual – the big ferry, I guess, going back to the their docks or something at one point. It was actually crossing the water bridge, and it doesn't cross it all that much. And so to go underneath it with the big ferry going over the top of you driving a bus underneath it, that's an odd experience.
That's when you wish you had the camera out. Somebody did it. To tape that, because that would be awesome to see.
Yeah, I saw there was like 8 moments like that this week. I was like, yeah, I wish I could take a picture.
So. Well, that's the reason why, John, I really want to move there. It's not about, yeah, I want to go on Flight of Passage and Rise of the Resistance and ride the TTA and all that. But I just want to be able to be on property like multiple times a week to see things like that. You know what I'm saying, John? Maybe just hanging out of the Contemporary, looking out one of the windows, watching the boats. Because you know how you go up by Chef Mickey's and all that, and you could sit in that little lounge area and look out towards the Wilderness Lodge and all back that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It just things like that, or the Animal Kingdom Library upstairs, John, where you can go hang out and just look at the savannah. How view? Nobody's ever in it.
No, actually, I've recorded a couple episodes with you from that spot, if you remember. So, yeah it's a generally a pretty lonely place. That one time I recorded there was a class of newbie cast members behind us, but other than that, there's nobody ever in there.
No, so. And it's such a beautiful space, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool, and there's actually a lot of like hidden little gems and stuff like that in there, both there, and then there's a spot over at Wilderness Lodge that has a lot of stuff like that, and even upstairs at Boardwalk, mm-hmm. Back there by the coffee bar and the regular bar in the morning, there's a whole little sitting area there that has all kinds of interesting little tidbits and stuff that's like you have to really look for. It's about the 7th layer of the onion to get to, but it's pretty cool. So
100%, it's like the beauty just going over to Riverside and hang out around over one of the bridges, or just hang out one of the quiet spaces, just to be able to do stuff like that is what my dream is of moving down there. It's not about all the hustle and bustle. It's just those little quiet areas where you could just look at the beauty of the landscape and the beauty of the parks. And there's a lot of peaceful nooks at all the resorts, and Animal Kingdom probably has 4 or 5 alone inside the building that nobody really hangs out at.
Oh, between Animal Kingdom Lodge and Kidani Village, yeah, there's all kinds of little alcoves and stuff like that. Yeah, there's places that just about at least every deluxe resort. I don't know about the All Stars and Pop Century, but all the deluxes and moderates have all kinds of little hidden spots where you can just chill.
So. Oh, absolutely. Saratoga Springs, all those, and how big that is and spacious. There's always a bench to pull up and chill. But today, John, is a sad day for me too, though.
Oh, boy, what's that?
Today is my mom's birthday, John, and she's been going over 20 years now, and I miss her so much, John. That's one thing that I do regret about my whole Disney life. I never got to go to Disney World with my mom.
Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, my mom's been gone quite a while too, so I'm there with you. So yeah, it stinks, especially on their birthdays. But
no matter how old you get, John, something's going on, something's going wrong. You still need your mom or dad's approval, or you just want there's something about, and I had really good parents. There's something about that unconditional love, like. Just showing up at my dad's house when he was alive, if I was having a bad day or popping over there, all I had to do was sit next to him or coming home from work, the same thing my mom lived with me until she passed. Just being in the room with her made me feel better. Didn't have to say anything. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like you said, the unconditional love, no matter how crappy you might have effed up, you know your parents are still going to love you. So.
100%. My mom... What I loved about my mom, and I'm not trying to brag about me because I never do that, but one of the best qualities I think I got from my mother was she right was right, wrong was wrong, but even if I was wrong, she still loved me. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course she did.
Yeah, so. And she would never, like, she would never sugarcoat it. When I came home, if I did something wrong, she would tell me what an idiot I was and tell me how wrong I was, and she... gave me what's for, John. She was ornery, but she was the most loving person I knew. Like, I mean, anything I needed, as long as I was honest with her, she would work it out. But if I couldn't lie to her, John, I would literally go home, I'd have my whole story made up, and I would get right in front of her and I'd tell her the whole damn truth. It's the truth, John. It's just there was something about her I could not, and I can't lie to Brenda. Brenda, I'll go up to her, and I'm like trying to, I'll try to sugarcoat it somehow, and I just can't do it. I just can't lie to her. But I miss my mom so much. It's crazy. I think about her all the time. Every year for Christmas, I mean, every year for her birthday, my mom wasn't into flowers, any gardening, any of that. I think it was because my grandmother and them, they grew up, they had the farm, like they picked, they did. You understand? So she wanted nothing to do with that stuff. But I would get her
as far away from the farm as possible.
Yes. And I would get her a brand new pair of sneakers and a sweatsuit every year for her birthday. That's what she wanted. Like, she remember the IOU sweatshirts and all that stuff? You remember them?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, but every year would be a brand new pair of Reeboks or a new pair of Nikes is what she wanted for her birthday. So, but anywho, I digress. I went off, but I do miss Mom. Love you, Mom.
Very nice.
To bring you down, John.
That's all right. I'm already in the dumps after my the segment sponsored by Carmen and Brian, the biggest sports fanatics that we know. But that dismal showing of the Florida Gators yesterday and their loss to LSU. So, what it does is it takes any talk of them in the national championship game right out the window. So good for them. They've eased up the decision making. So,
dude, I stayed up and watched that game for you. I was rooting for you.
I got home to see the missed field goal at the very end. Yay, me! So happy. Wonderful.
But the thing that got me is, is Jim Schwartz's son coach your defense?
It's atrocious. Yeah, it's bad.
So. I mean, that defense is so horrible, dude, because LSU don't even have half their players.
No, one of the touchdowns was a pick six. One was a busted coverage. I mean, there was just a crappy showing altogether. I mean, all it took for the Gators to lose was Kyle Trask to have a mediocre game, and that's what he did yesterday was have a mediocre game. So I mean, it was pretty much a crap show. It was not pretty. Yeah, and that defense has been suspect all year. I mean, they've got a lot of new freshmen and sophomen in there and stuff like that, and it's not gelling right now. So hopefully they can take the summer or the winter, spring and work on it and maybe be a little better next year, because we're losing all of the offense. So,
well, the thing that got me, John, is how can I put this? The thing that got me is it kind of reminds me the same thing of what my Eagles do. Anytime you need the defense to make any kind of stop or play, it never happens. That game yesterday, if they'd have just made a couple stops, they'd have took all the life out of LSU. But they just kept allowing them to stay in it and believe that they made them to believe that they were as good as Florida. And once that other team believes that, you're SOL.
Then they can play. Yeah, and then, I mean, the one time they did have them stop, they gave them a penalty on third down. So, yeah, it's stupid, stupid plays like that. That's just – it's super frustrating. But, I mean, I wasn't all that surprised. I thought they were going to stumble against somebody. I really thought it would be Georgia or something like that. So, but, I mean, the loss to LSU, that puts them at 8-2. That means they're – and I don't – give them much of a chance. Of course, I'm a huge fan. I'm going to have to root for me next week against Alabama, but I mean, it's just realistically, it's not much of a chance, but regardless, they'll end up 8-3 and in a decent bowl game. So it wasn't a bad year, but I think Trask might have lost his chance at the Heisman yesterday with his mediocre showing. So
no, it's sad. It was very sad. I felt like I was getting frustrated watching. I felt like I was watching my Eagles. I mean, some of the stupid things were done and some of the stupid plays, it was just nuts. But let's go on to our fantasy league here now.
Well, speaking of that game real quick, you saw that fog roll in then if you were watching it.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
I'm still sitting exactly in that stuff. So.
And again, it reminded me of the Eagles, the fog bowl. I can't believe that game was played. That was the year the Eagles should have gone to the Super Bowl. Like, that was our best chance. And that, a fog rolls in. All of us in Philadelphia are like, we're never going. Because if that team would have played the Bears 9 other times, they'd have beat them, if you follow me, without the fog.
Yep.
So, but anywho, last week I got my butt kicked from Matt Watts, 155-79. Sean Duffy actually took a loss. He lost 130-83. Nate Trent beat him.
Yeah, good for Nathan.
Monorail Bob won over Tommy Lee, 136-78. You took out O-Town, 115-95. Oh, my goodness. Judith put a beating on Evan. The two top guys got knocked down last week. They're still in the playoffs, but Judith beat Evan 134-88. Your son won 95-87 over Aaron Ryan. And your wife, after I took her down, which was my Super Bowl last week, John, or the week before, was the trash talking she was speaking. I usually don't do that to a beautiful woman, but she deserved it, John. I had to give her what for. So, but anyway, she took out Pat to get back at me, John.
There you go.
She beat Pat 108.88 to 107.92. There's nothing worse than that less than a point loss, John. That's like a total kick in the butt.
Her and my son were really nervous on that game, but yeah, they she pulled it out. So,
but anyway, you're in the playoffs, John.
Yeah, I think I'm playing Sean Duffy this week. So,
yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, he got really lucky in some of his games because he had the perfect season almost. It was like he scored enough points when he was playing somebody good, but then other weeks he was just scored enough to beat somebody that was mediocre. So I'm hoping he has a mediocre week and I have a good week, so maybe I can take him down.
So all that being said, you hear that, Sean? John's talking crap. Your team ain't that good. That's what I got out of that, John.
That's me, trash talker. Oh, goodness gracious, Doug, my other league, I still got Christian McCaffrey, and he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. Now he's out altogether. So, and of course, when I found that out, I went to put somebody else in, and of course, I can't drop him or do anything with him now. Somehow he's locked in there. So.
And what game was that?
I don't know. He hasn't played, so I don't know why he's locked, but he's locked. They won't let me.
Well, go in today, John. Sometimes it's up to yesterday. You could probably change him out today.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to change him out.
I still don't have much of a chance, and I'm not even in the playoffs over there, but nonetheless, I want to try to win. So.
Yeah, you'll be able to get him out. Petey's Pirates, you're playing Sean Duffy. Your final record was 9-4, and Sean's was 11-2. But you're projected to beat them with what the projections do. But you got 2 weeks in this league to play this game.
Yeah.
And then Evan is playing Monorail Bob. And Monorail Bob is up 2.8-0, and Sean's up 13.5-0. But getting only 2.8 points, Monorail Bob, out of James White, that kind of hurts the start of the game.
Yep.
So it's going to be very interesting. And the consolation games is Pat's playing Judith. I'm playing your son today, John.
All right. Well, be nice.
Yeah, so just for giggles, I made the playoffs in three out of four leagues I made the playoffs. This is the only one I didn't. So, anywho, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about seeing Jalen Hurts. Oh, dude, I'm looking at this Splash Mountain at dark right now. The lights, oh, my God, is it beautiful. I love Disney World. I hate the management, but I love Disney World. So, but anywho, where are we headed here, Johnny, now? 2 weeks till Christmas. Are you ready?
Well, I got a week. We're celebrating Christmas next Sunday, so I've got a week to do that. And it's weird because, you know, all the trainers are guys that some of them have 20, 30 years of experience and seniority and stuff, and they all have to work Christmas. So, but yeah, Christmas falls on a weekday, so everybody's in training will be just driving. So, and it'll be interesting. I mean, it'll not be a depressing day. That's fun. That's sure. I'll see a lot of happy people. Actually, I got to pick up guests this week. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was exciting. So, Friday and Saturday. Friday we did Epcot Hub, where and it was funny, Doug. I was basically just a floater, randomly driving around going, hey, where you need to go? Get on my bus.
That's awesome. Let me kidnap you and take you somewhere.
Yeah, where you want to go? I'm an Uber, so.
I'm so a big Uber.
Yeah, I'm a one big Uber.
I'm Goober. I'm Goober.
Then once we got over to the resort, obviously we had to go back to wherever we came from because we had it on our marquee now. So, but yeah, I got to pick up some guests and stuff like that this week. Went to the Epcot on Friday and Magic Kingdom yesterday. Magic Kingdom obviously had a whole lot more people shuttling back and forth than Epcot did, so it picked up a lot more yesterday. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's where I want to be. Like I said, the Magic Kingdom absolutely looks beautiful, breathtaking, but I want to go hang at Epcot at World Showcase. And speaking of that, John, I'm going to skip into some news right away. Did you see the Spice Road table close and now they're open again with the new menu?
I was looking at that and it makes me leery. Let's see if it says the table service restaurant in the Morocco Pavilion will soon be under the control of Disney as the current operating participant withdraws from the park. Plans are to reopen on December 13th with an updated menu. Small plate options will remain, good, including hummus fries, Tyro Pitika, and fried calamari. Spice Road table will be walk-up only with no reservations. Elsewhere at Morocco, the Kids Fun Stop will move locations from today, and the Sok Agmigreg store will reopen December 12th. Marrakesh Moroccan restaurant, which was the operator of the pavilion's dining merchandise locations, has struggled during COVID-19 and its phased reopening. In particular, the Tangerine Cafe closed shortly after its reopening. Many of the Epcot Pavilion restaurants and stores are operated by third-party participants. And, of course, we know that. Patina Group owns a bunch of them, including those found in China, Morocco, Mexico, France, and Italy.
Well, it's sad. I mean, I wonder what's going to happen with the Tangerine Cafe.
I don't know, and that's me and Lisa's favorite spot out there. It's the perfect summer meal. It's light. You know, it's half of the items on the plate are cold, so it's fantastic, and it's perfect size for sharing between the two of us. So it was fresh and different, you know, and truly a unique taste of Middle Eastern food. So it's disappointing that the place has not reopened, but it was never busy. I mean, you know, there was never a crowd in there. So
yeah, because I got the newest menu. The spicy garlic shrimp is going to stay on there too, John.
Well, you're good.
Yeah, I was pretty sad about that, but I wonder if they could do it the same. I wonder if the same chefs or the same recipe is going to be there, or what the deal is going to be.
Yeah, you're right, because they are owned and operated by somebody else, and then maybe they took their employees with them.
Yeah, I mean, and what's going on? I'd skipped over. Well, what is going on with the Tangerine Cafe? I mean, the Marrakesh. I mean, I wonder what they're going to do with that, John.
Oh, the one in the back. I don't know. There's a lot of places that they're just waiting for things to reopen. I don't think any of those restaurants in Morocco were all that ever busy. I mean, as much as both of us like Spice Road Table, and as much as me and Lisa really love Tangerine Cafe, there was never a gob of people at any of those places. So I'm hoping they just decide to put cheeseburger and fries in there. So,
well, I hope not either, because even though I enjoyed eating there, I kind of felt uncomfortable having a belly dancer roam around with eating dinner with my wife. It just wasn't my romantic setting. I don't know about you, John. Not
usually,
that I hated the belly dancer.
Usually I got a beer and chicken wing in my hand when there's a half-nude woman running around, but, you know.
No, it just with your wife there. I mean, not that I minded her, but you just feel uncomfortable. It's like she'd tell you to look at, is this a trap?
You know? It's culture, honey. It's culture.
Yeah. Is this a trap? Not that Brenda ever gets upset with that stuff, but you get what I'm saying. It's just not, just like it wouldn't be comfortable with a Chippendale dancing around while you're eating dinner. I mean,
put that away, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. That's just wrong, John. But anywho, I don't know. I hope they go. I want it to be authentic back there. I don't want it to completely change.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, and hopefully, like I said, it just doesn't become another burgers and fries or something like that. I mean, the food in Tangerine Cafe and Spice Road Table both was actually really, really good, flavored well and everything like that. And then one time we ate in Morocco, or the restaurant Marrakesh, it was flavorless, and it was, and you could definitely tell they had probably got complaints from some of us Americans with not so tasty palates about their food or something, because it just tasted like they had taken all their spice out of their food. And I mean, spice doesn't have to be hot, you know. Spice just means it's well flavored. So it taking all the flavoring out. So
yeah, me and Brenda, like, we enjoyed it. We did it during the dining plan.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like I got. It was nice. It was a good meal. But the thing that I didn't like was I thought the baklava was going to be one of the best desserts I've ever had, and it was like cardboard with powdered sugar on it.
Yeah, you had said it was pretty atrocious.
And I was shocked about that, because I thought that it was going to be great. I'm like all excited about the dessert, because me and you've talked before that we don't usually always get desserts.
But when you're on the dining plan, you do.
Yeah, so it was kind of like me and Brenda were indulging in our desserts, and you know what I'm saying? We were kind of like, I was so excited about it, because every other meal, even at some of the counter services, like the chocolate cake that we got with our meal was like incredible, if you follow me, because it was fresh and good. It tastes, you know, I mean, it's one thing about all Disney's pastries, they're, you know, they're made that day. There's, you never get a Disney pastry or a cake or anything and say, man, that's like last week. Am I wrong?
No, as long as you're buying one that's actually out on the deli counter or out in the bakery counter, I wouldn't buy the prepack. There are some resorts where I've seen them in the cellophane wrappers, and at that point I skip them, because those, you know, you don't know when they were made. But yeah, as long as they are actually in the window and stuff, yeah, they're fresh. So.
Well, I wanted to read this to you, John. I found the menu for the new Spice Road table. Me and Brenda had it last night. I had to re-find it here on my phone because it wasn't on any of the websites. But anyway, they're going to have the hummus fries, and the prices seem less. I could be wrong. Like, they went down.
Goodness.
Is that even possible?
I don't think that's physically possible.
I got to go over to All Ears and look at the original menu and see. Come on, we got to do a breaking news here if it did go down, John. You know exactly what I'm talking about, John, because they never go down.
Strange things going on at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, if these prices went down, we got to figure this one out. Hold on, here we go. Moroccan Pavilion, Spice Road Tables. This was the July version of it. Spicy garlic shrimp was $13.95, John. Spicy shrimp here is only $12.
I wonder if you get two less.
I probably do. The hummus fries are $9.95. Okay, they're $10 now. They gouge you for a nickel, John. But yeah, a couple of the things did go down, John.
Well, that's very weird.
It is.
Unless actually Disney's looking at it, and they can actually, because they have much more buying power than just the restaurant that ran there. I mean, you know, they can pretty much set their prices they want to. So hopefully, yeah, the quality is going to stay the same.
Like, they even have a dessert platter here. It's called Assorted Moroccan Pastries for $9. When have you ever got a dessert for $9, really, John? If it's more than one, it's saying assorted. But the new caption here is Mediterranean small plates. We've always said it's like, you know, it's more grease. It's more, the spices are not spicy. They're just flavor, which a lot of people get scared when they hear spice. Everybody always thinks it's hot. Turmeric's not hot.
It's just well flavored.
Yes. So they got the hummus fries for $10. They have fried calamari for $12. It's with a remoulade and harissa sauce. You got a non-spread, John. I guess it's going to be like the bread service at Sinai.
Well, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's called a non-bread spread. It has hummus, chamoula, marinated olives, and as it's called za'atar. There's different spreads. This is the one I was trying to figure out how to say last night. Tiro pita kia. Tiro pita kia. Have you ever had that, John?
No, I've had pita, but I don't know about the rest of it.
Well, it's spelled, tell me, I think I'm pronouncing this right. You guys know I never miss up pronunciation, but it's spelled T-I-R-O PITAKIA, Tiropitakia.
All right. Let's
so
go with it.
It's cheese filled phyllo, cucumber, and a tomato relish. What it kind of reminds you of, like a pocket, like a Kefka pocket. You know what I'm talking about, John?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, but it sounds like a tzatziki sauce or something, you know, with the yogurt and cucumber. So,
yeah, it looked good. I seen pictures of it. You got a spiced chicken with it kind of has a raza challah and a mint yogurt. The dessert, that's $11. The bread service, John, that is that was only $9. So, it's not bad. I mean, the Tiropitakia is only $9. The non-spread was $10. The spicy shrimp is $12. They got grilled lamb kefka, which is $12. Pomegranate chili crispy cauliflower. That's what me and Brenda were interested in, to try that. It's $11. They have domas, D-O-L-M-A-S, domas.
Stuffed grape leaves.
Yep. With rice and herbs, marinated olives, and a charred lemon for $9. And then they got a Spice Road table sampler for $15. You get the lamb kefka, tzatziki, spiced chicken, and you get the Tiropitakia for $15. So this, I still think it's a good option to go here, John.
Yeah, sounds good. And sounds like the prices are not bad at all. So, and I think Tiropitakia might be my new password, because that's a great word.
Yes, there you go, John. But ain't you proud of me doing the homework to try to get it right, John?
Yeah, good job. Good job. We're all proud of you.
I did something right, John. It's not often, but I did something
Doug,
right.
You were talking about the dining plan you had a couple of years ago, and me and Lisa and JJ did it one time. We had the dining plan, and we ended it by the end of the week in our little refrigerator in the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think we had 8 chocolate cakes sitting there that we had picked up from the quick service meals. Yep. And you can't eat it every time you're there. And, you know, we had eaten some back at the resort and stuff. And we're like, I'll just put it in the refrigerator. Just put it in. I think my son ate them for the next week and a half when we got back home. So.
Yeah. The only reason we ate a lot of the desserts, like when we did counter service, because of getting the dessert and all, John, me and Brenda would order one meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Split the meal, split the dessert.
The next day and stuff. So.
Yeah, split the meal, split the dessert, move on, and then an hour or two later, we go to another quick service meal. Or that night before, you know what I mean, late in the night, we do dinner, early dinner, and then do another snack before bed. You know what I'm saying? Back at the resort or something.
Yeah.
Grab something different. And this way we got to try a bunch of things.
Yeah, you could use one of them for breakfast instead of just having to use your snack for breakfast. So, yeah, we did a lot of that too. So.
And it was nothing about being cheap or trying to. It was just we don't eat that much. We eat a lot, but we don't eat we're not big sitting eaters, if you follow me. So. But yeah, we got the dining plan. The only time I ever felt robbed on the dining plan is I had one meal that even with the dining plan I felt like I was ripped off.
You felt like they still should have brought you some money back or something, right?
Yeah. Tell you what, the last meal we did on that dining credit with the 2 dining credits at Le Cellier with that nasty waiter, I felt like I was robbed too. Trying to kick me out the place.
We did Le Cellier right when they had switched from 2 dining credits to 1 credit or from 1 to 2 for dinner, but lunch was still 1 credit. And lunch was basically, as far as I could tell, it was exactly the same as dinner. It was just a matter of what time you wanted to eat. And so we were able to eat there with 1 credit. So that was worth it. That was the best, I think, deal we did all week. So
yeah, ours was right when they switched it over, and when we went in and sat down, I didn't realize it was 2 already.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I would have never did that, because I don't think any of the meals on property are worth 2 dining credits. I'd rather just pay for them and then get 2 other meals.
Well, I mean, obviously, we have decided a long time ago, all of us, that the dining plan is just not, it's not worth it altogether.
No, so. Speaking of that, I have one of the girls at work, one of the electricians, I'm going to help her with her trip, and she was talking about the dining plan, and I told her, go to Target, get yourself a Target credit card, and buy $1,000 Disney gift card, save the 5%, get a free meal on them for $50, and move on.
Yeah, exactly. That's a much better plan, because the dining plan just doesn't work out well. I mean, we have beat that to death. But yeah, I mean, yeah. it puts you in a position where you're always trying to get the most expensive item on the menu because you want to get your value out of it. It's just not worth the effort.
No, so. We've said it 100 times. If you're going to go to Rose and Crown and get the bangers and mash or the shepherd's pie, you're losing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not and that they're not great, that, but you're losing.
Yeah, and you're looking at that menu, and that's the best things on there. You're in a British pub. You don't want the no offense against their steak, but mm-hmm. you don't want their steak. You want a shepherd's pie or fish and chips or bangers and mash. You don't want, you know. So I don't know.
But. So I talk everybody out of it, and it takes money out of my pocket because if I book the dining plan, I make more money.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, Disney is already so much work, and a lot of people really enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy the heck out of planning a Disney vacation, so a lot of people do, but other people, they just want to go and have fun. They're not interested in scheduling fast passes and working out all the intricacies of your dining plan and stuff like that. They just want to go. So, you know, dining plan involves a lot of work if you're going to get your value up, if you're going to try to get your value out of it, so...
Dude, if you'd have been in my travel agency when some of the parents would come in to book a trip and meet with me, and you could tell the father had no interest in going.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Dude, when I'm splaining all this, when I'm doing the splaining to them, John, oh, my goodness. It's like, they're like, a Disney vacation is really this hard? I just want to pay for it, basically, is what they're saying. Like, and I'm going on and on and on. And it's like, he's looking at me like, listen, Mr. Droner. But, and the wife is like hanging on every word, if you understand, like writing it all down, putting it in her file of facts, if you understand what I'm saying, you know, into it. And the husband's like on his iPhone, like, when am I getting out of here most of the time? Like, just, they can't believe that there's this much to it. And I'm not doing my job if I don't explain everything.
No, and I mean, you don't have to do all of that, but to have your best time possible, you really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you really need to research stuff or you're wasting time. And well, I mean, and you don't go to Disney, but there's a lot of people that do it. But I can't believe people go to Disney and get up at 11 o'clock and meander over, especially if it's your first time or if you got a family, getting into the park at 11:30 or noon. It just, that seems like such a waste of a vacation day to me. But that's me. I mean, other people like to relax half the morning. So.
Yeah, well, Brenda is the type that 9:30, 10 o'clock would be fine with her on vacation because we're up at 5 every day. But we've been there so much. We did the running. Like you said,
good. You see, and you know what you want to do and stuff like that. Yeah. And you also don't have 4 children, you know, that you want to try to get them on each of their favorite rides, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, the other people, though, I don't know, my sister-in-law, when she came, and they were that type of people. They rose at 11 o'clock. They'd go over to the park at 1:30, hang out for 2 hours, and then come back. And I mean, why did I even get you in?
So. We were still up at bright and early, but the thing is, we would mosey on over for breakfast or go somewhere for breakfast or hang out at the resort in the morning. And we were she don't want to be rushed out the door like she is every day at work, if you follow me. Now, if there's a couple things during the week where I say, like, we did Flight of Passage. She was up, she was dressed, she's ready to go. She gets it. But if we're just going to have a normal day at Epcot or something, if we get at Epcot at 10, 11 o'clock, it's not a big deal for us.
Yeah. No, not at all.
But for the most part, I get what you're saying. And that's what would end up happening with me. I would end up setting up a second consultation where the wife would just come in because you know
that's generally what works in most families anyway. There's usually one super uber planner and then there's the other one that just kind of goes along for the ride, and obviously me and you are both in situations where we're reversed. We're the uber planners and our wives are kind of like, okay, just tell us where to go.
Yep. So. And all four of us, Dennis and Bob, are the same way.
But then it's Judith and their family. You know, she's the planner, and Tommy's just like, okay, tell me what we're doing. So.
Yep. Well, Tommy's kind of like Brenda and Lisa, where they cannot wait to go, but they're just happy to be there. As long as they have a drink in their hand, they're all good to go.
You tell me what we're doing, we'll be good.
So, did you see The Mandalorian, John?
Yes, I did, and I started watching. Let's see, I watched all the Mandalorians. I watched a couple of episodes of your Animal Kingdom show.
Okay, was I overstating how good that is?
Yeah, it's really good. It's really enjoyable. However, it's not as good as The Mandalorian.
Oh, it's better than The Mandalorian.
That's what you said, but I can't.
Okay, and you want to know why? I think because you work there. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think...
Yeah, it was interesting seeing some of the areas that I know where we're at. Yeah. That was really cool.
But that is good, though. It is. You did enjoy it, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Certainly enjoyed The Mandalorian. So, yeah, I caught up on a lot of my shows this week. So.
And what about all... I mean, The Mandalorian's awesome. And now, did you like you see... I mean, we... spoiler alert if you don't want to hear this. I'm giving it a second. But were you shocked that he showed his face finally?
I knew who it was. I mean,
so did I, but were you shocked? And I was shocked that it looked good. I was waiting for him to be mangled up a little bit.
Actually, I thought maybe it'd be face jelly from the last time we saw him on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was afraid Mountain was going to jump out somewhere and start beating him up. No, actually, he looked just like he did in Game of Thrones. So I was kind of like, they didn't even shave his head or anything. Yeah, I thought maybe they were going to shave his head and give him a scar or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he'd be a little
exactly
mussed up.
He looked exactly like the character from Game of Thrones. So.
Yeah, and he was also in one of my favorite shows. He's from Narcos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he plays one of the detectives in Narcos, which is really good. It's, you know, that, like, it's a movie, but it's also kind of a fact-based movie. You know, it was a series on Netflix. It's really good. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, check out Narcos. Very good. But he was in that. That's where I know him more from. I know him from Game of Thrones, but whenever I think of him, I think of him more from Narcos because he was on every episode, if you follow me.
Okay.
He was the main character in that series, in that season of it, because there's multiple seasons of Narcos.
Yep.
It's kind of like True Detective, where they have different, the same show, but different characters that are chasing different people, if you follow me. So.
Okay.
But anyway, I was expecting, he looked like he just, fresh as a daisy, just got out of the shower. I mean, hair done. Like, how's his hair look that good when he's wearing a mask for 20 years?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I enjoyed it. It was good. And what about all the announcements coming out, John, about what's it going to be, like 7,000 new shows on Disney Plus?
I guess. There seems to be a gob of them. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Oh, speaking of shows, I watched, I don't think it's on Disney Plus, but it was on Freeform, because they've got the 25 Days of Christmas during this month. And it was from a couple of years ago, but nonetheless, it's always an interesting watch, is that Decorating the Holiday Parks special. I'm sure you've seen that one before, where they show how they get all the Christmas decorations and everything up overnight and put the tree up and all that stuff. It was really good.
Yeah, so. I actually watched that on Disney Plus. It had the girl that showed her retiring at the end. They did another
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg was on it and all, with the gingerbread house and all. Yeah, yeah. I seen it on Disney Plus the other day.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, we've got it recorded off of Freeform, but yeah, I guess it's on Disney Plus too. But it was interesting because one of the things they said was that the Christmas tree at the Contemporary is actually traffic lights that have been repainted, and that's how big they are. You know, they're the size, they are the traffic lights. And I drove past it yesterday, and I was able to tell my trainer, you know, those are actually traffic lights. It was pretty cool.
You go, girl.
I know, right? I know. Spitting that Disney knowledge.
Oh, I love it, dude. I mean, I was enjoying every bit of that.
Speaking of my trainer, finally I found, this is my fourth trainer, and finally I got the guy who is actually a Disney fan too. And so we've had a lot of fun walking around looking at stuff. We did the Utilidors the other day, walked through with them. I was able to show him where I went up for Pirates and stuff like that. We found the spot where supposedly, rumor has it, that Walt stood when he was looking around and figuring and you know, contemplating what he was going to put there. So there's a yellow square painted backstage in the Utilidors that is, the rumor has it, is where actual Walt stood at that spot. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So a lot of cool stuff, and a lot of the break rooms I got to see. They've right before the pandemic struck, they did redid a lot of the break rooms around property for the cast members. And so there's all these really cool pictures, especially, you know, where whatever is the concentrated area of the break room is the type of pictures they have up on the wall. So the one we were in the other day was at TTC, and it was all transportation stuff. So buses from the 70s and the trams, you know, and Walt and the train. And so a lot of really cool pictures. So,
yeah, well, I was shocked at all the announcements that came out. I mean, Don Cheadle's character is going to be a new show on Disney Plus. There's other things going to go off of Star Wars that's going to be on Disney Plus. What was the one that was it's going to be about the Ranger or whatever? Is that going to be Gina Carano's character running that, or?
I don't know. I haven't read the review of that. I know Obi-Wan's supposed to come out, and
yes.
Then I had heard some stuff about
Hayden Christensen's going to be in that as Darth Vader again.
Yep.
So the second worst actor in Disney in Star Wars history is getting another shot at it.
Doug and his whining teenagers. You know, if he just kept the whining teenagers out of the Star Wars universe, Doug would be okay. He just doesn't like whining teenagers.
Well, Luke, you know, he was better at the end, but they're saying Disney stock surged to an all-time high, but they're still laying everybody off, John.
Actually, Doug, we're getting 200 internal transfers next week at the buses of people that would have been laid off because their position just isn't there anymore, and they were able to take the option to transfer over to buses. So,
it's crazy how many bus drivers there's going to be.
Yeah. Well, another 200 means my seniority is moving up already.
There you go. I mean, I wonder if you guys are going to be driving cast members to and from unemployment is what's going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, there are so many buses right now. If you came right now, Doug, you wouldn't be able to complain a bit about the amount of the time you wait for buses. I pull into Old Key West and there's literally 10 buses rolling around and two of Epcot, three for the Magic Kingdom. It's like, good God. So,
yeah, it's sad here. It says Disney, this other little news blurb. Disney stocks hit all-time high while its workers hit all-time low. And it shows a bunch of people, you know, without jobs. I didn't make it. Walt Disney World waitress struggles to hold on to middle-class life amid a pandemic and catastrophic layoffs. So it's showing, again, how all the stockholders are making a gazillion dollars, but the employees are the one paying the price.
Yep.
Ain't that a beautiful way to be the American way? And the thing of it is again that I told you, John, the reason it drives me so nuts is because I look at Disney as the pinnacle of American business, and it's sad.
Well, I mean, you said the key words, it's business. I mean, that's the thing. This is no longer a family-run organization that looks after its people that have been there a while. It's a business, and at the end of the day, the business they have to be accountable to their shareholders, and it's the shareholders who demand profit. So,
yeah, well, how much is enough, dude? I mean, I don't even want to get into that. I'll go on a 20-minute tangent, and you need to move on. Most of the walls removed in the latest Intervention West demolition work at Epcot. What's that about, Johnny?
Yeah, it looks like they're moving along on their construction. Most of the exterior walls are now down in the former Interventions West building. Walking around the area, it is now possible to see directly through the building and onto the closed-off central spire. Yep, more construction at that the front of Epcot. So it's a mess right now. Going through the International Gateway and save yourself a lot of trouble.
Yeah, the only problem is you got to know how to even get into there now.
I'd go park at Caribbean Beach or Pop Century and take the Skyliner. That'd be a good day for you.
Yeah, it would. It's weird, though, John. Like that lady the last time I went in, I told you we got in, but she's giving me stink eye for trying to go over to Yacht and Beach Club because we were going to go to dinner. Like, she's literally staring me down. I felt like I was in Mandalorian getting ready to have a shootout at the OK Corral.
Well, I've been, when I had the easier schedule, I was getting off at 4:30. I was going by a resort a lot of times on the way home to hang out and walk around a bit and see some stuff. And one day I went to Animal Kingdom Lodge and it was fine. I just told him I was going in to look around, do some Christmas shopping. Well, the last time I went there, the security guard, he's like, well, you realize Jumbo House is closed, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm going over to Kidani Village. Well, there's not much of a store there. Dude, just let me in or don't let me in. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. So, yeah, and there's nobody at the resorts right now. It's not a big deal if you want to go park somewhere. And for God's sakes, let me spend some money, would you? I mean, you know.
No, I hear you, John. My brother, Tomator knows we record every week at this time, and he has to call.
Oh, he's trying to catch you. You know, he's used to your 9 o'clock start. He's trying to catch you right before you start. So,
but no, it's just it's like they're trying to be. I don't know what it is. Like you said, one time you'll go right in, and another time they want you to give you a birth certificate to get in through the gate.
Yeah. I mean, and especially somewhere like Animal Kingdom. There's nothing I'm cheating to do at Animal Kingdom. I'm not cheating to get away with parking or anything like that at Animal Kingdom because there is no direct transportation to a resort.
No.
You know, I understand maybe, especially during the busy times at Yacht and Beach or Boardwalk, if they want to ask you a question or two, because people do cheat and just park there instead of paying for parking and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you're going to go through all that trouble, just park at Disney Springs or something and walk over to Saratoga and take the bus if you're that desperate to save yourself parking. But, I mean, otherwise, if people are coming in to actually do your restaurants and stuff, leave them alone. I tell you what, if I know the name of the restaurant in the property, then chances are I'm probably going to go eat there, okay?
So. Oh. The other time was, you remember the trip I did? Remember me and Brenda stayed at the house?
Yeah.
I was headed over to meet friends at the boardwalk. And guys, people, you know, people from the show, stuff like that. And I pull up and he goes, where are you headed? I said, I'm headed to Wide World of Sports, ESPN Club. Oh, are you? I'm like, why are you calling me a liar? And as soon as I did that, he backed right down. I said, I'm headed to Wide World of Sports. Ain't I allowed to go in? Ain't that the idea of having that there so people go patronize it?
Yeah, that's the point, but yet they don't want you to park there, God forbid. So I don't get it.
Yeah. I could just see them eventually just charging you like maybe $20 if you don't belong to that resort to park.
Well, that would definitely run down the attendance at some of their restaurants. So.
Well, I'm saying I could just see them because the other time we did have reservations, like, and they look them up.
Yeah, they do.
So if you have reservations, you don't pay. If you don't, you do.
Yeah, definitely the Contemporary. The last time I tried to, I haven't even tried to park there. Right now I've been parking at the Poly and there's no problem right now, especially since the Polynesian's open and there's actually there's no monorail stop there. So there's really no advantage of parking at the Poly unless you are trying to cheat parking, you know, paying parking, but. That's an awful lot of effort to go through to cheap parking.
Yeah, so. Well, I would just enjoy the walk now.
That's what I do.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's why it's going to become advantageous now to walk over. So, but we'll see. But I usually, my way around it is, and ain't a way around it because I love eating there. We book breakfast at the Wave and go eat breakfast.
Yep.
Dude, I'll tell you what. The craziness of Epcot is continuing. I don't know. I'm going to skip around. I'll read this real quick. The most magical place on Earth tagline installed on the Western Way Gateway, action with flags put up. It looks nice, John. What do you think?
Yeah, it's nice. And that's usually, if I take the tollway, that's the way I come in. So, you know, I'll be seeing a lot of that. And so, yeah, it's a nice update. It looks nice.
Okay. Now, let's go back to Epcot real quick.
Back to Epcot.
I'm excited. We all know that I'm so biased towards, I mean, like, I love Illuminations. You do too. So, we're going to be very judgmental on this harmonious new fireworks show. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely correct, sir.
So, I'm already coming down on it, John. It's unlike me to be negative to start stuff, but the harmonious signage and concepts are now on display at World Showcase Plaza. The thing that I'm upset with, John, it looks like these barges might be permanent out there. And they look horrible. It ruins all the sight lines. The way they're sitting there, doesn't it look like they're not going to be moved now, the way I'm reading this, or am I wrong?
Yeah. No, I think you're correct, because we even talked about it a couple of weeks ago where they're going to be turned into fountains during the day. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they are, once they get them out there, they're probably going to anchor them in place, and they're going to be out there all day.
I hope they decorate the heck out of them, John, because they look like – it looks like Darth Vader invaded the World Showcase Lagoon.
Yeah, it looks like – I mean, you can imagine what it would look like if they don't do anything to it. It's going to look like a bunch of deconstructed steel building just randomly tossed around the lake is what it's going to look like. So.
I mean, okay, so you're on the same side as me looking at this. It looks like a big sore thumb, doesn't it? I mean, you look at the one, and then you're looking at, I think, the – Rose and Crown sitting there, and it totally destroys the view of it, don't it?
Yeah, they're not real pretty. Yeah, hopefully they're gonna do something with them, because you're absolutely correct. Right now they're just pretty giant, big old steel structures.
So. Yeah. Following the arrival of the first harmonious barge in World Showcase Lagoon, signs are now being put up around World Showcase Promenade to allow guests to let guests in on what is happening. And it says, included in the sign concept art of the show and the daytime fountain show that will attempt to conceal some of the hardware during daylight hours. I mean, this is, I mean, who thought of this, Bob Iger?
Yeah, I'm reading the other article. It says each of the massive show barges will remain in the World Showcase Lagoon throughout the day, ending its tradition of illuminations where the barges were brought out late in the day each night for showtime. So,
John,
yeah.
Okay, that one I'm looking at now, the one made picture on Magic here. Do you see the barge in front of the Christmas tree and the ball, Spaceship Earth?
Yeah.
Okay, now tell me, John, I know I do. I don't know about you, because you've been there a gazillion times more than me. But every single time I get to the complete opposite side of World Showcase over by Japan or over America or whatever, and I'm looking back across the lagoon, I have to take a picture of the ball. Look at that picture now, and the Christmas tree lit up at night. Look at the barge in the way. I mean,
it's just not pretty, is it?
No, I don't. I mean, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one being negative about this. And honestly, I miss illuminations like heck, but this has even nothing to do with illuminations. This is just horrible. That this is going to be there.
If this is what it took to put illuminations on, you wouldn't be happy with it. You know, it's not pretty. Yeah, I'm looking through the other pictures, and they show the thing anchored out there. And then that's one of them, Doug. There's going to be three more that
yes.
come out. So, yeah. And actually, if you look at the picture of backstage, I passed right by there when I was doing the bus thing the other day. So we saw how big those things are. That one that looks like it's a big circle, it's a huge piece of equipment. So, and then the last picture, or one of the last pictures they have down here, is how they're going to be fountains. And they're fountains, but I don't know if they're all there. I'd rather just have nothing there. So, yeah, it's not pretty. So,
and I'm so shocked. You would think Disney would be able to build something that would maybe float at sea level. I mean, right along the lagoon. You understand what I'm saying? It would be kind of submerged.
Fold down into it or something like that. Yeah, you would think there would be some capability, some way of just not having these giant barges out there.
I mean, what's the article say here, John? It says, the first of the show platforms for Harmonious, the show platform barges, the key word. Dude, these are as ugly as the barges that go down the Schuylkill River here, the Delaware River. I mean,
you expect coal to be on them or something.
Yeah. Platform barges for Harmonious is now on World Showcase Lagoon. Crews moved the barge from backstage marina where the platforms are being built last night and anchored the barge to its platform in the northeast quadrant of the lagoon close to Mexico. In addition to the main central barge, I mean, it looks like they're putting a wall up in Mexico here again, John, with this barge, don't it?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my God, it's such a shame, this thing. Anyway, crews moved it from lagoon closer to Mexico. In addition to the main central barge, there will be a total of four of these perimeter barges featuring 25 double-sided LCD walls and moving arms. Click the gallery of lots of pictures for her first emergency barge on the lagoon. Each of the massive show barges will remain in World Showcase throughout the day, ending the tradition of illumination barges that were brought out late each day and night for the nighttime show. John, these barges make the friendship boats look minuscule.
Oh, yeah. They're like I said, we drove past it, and the bus was like an itty-bitty little thing next to it. So, yeah, they're huge. They're huge, and they're gonna be out there all the time. So I guess you're going to have to get used to it.
I mean, the pictures do show the water hiding it. But, John, the key thing that I'm upset about is there's nothing, like I said, about Magic Kingdom, okay? My favorite thing about Magic Kingdom is walking down Main Street, the beauty of that, the lights of the night. Am I wrong?
Yep.
Okay, what's the beauty of World Showcase? When you first enter, you're coming into World Showcase, and you look across the water at night, the beauty, the lights all lit all the way around. Isn't it gorgeous to look around? I feel like I'm looking around the world, and you're supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying? And taking it all in. How are you taking that in now?
You're not. You're going to see your coal barges is what you're going to see. So.
Photo lineup announced for the 2020 ABC Disney Parks Magical Christmas Celebration. Disney has announced more details for the 2020 Magical Christmas Celebration airing Christmas Day on ABC at 10 a.m. And it looks like Julianne Hough's going to be the anchor.
Yeah, according to Disney, the two-hour special will include a look at Remy's Ratatouille Adventure coming in 2021, but when to Epcot as WandaVision, a Disney original series streaming January 15th, and at Disney and Pixar's upcoming film Soul, available on Disney Plus December 25th. There will also be a cast member highlights, a dive into Disney Dreamers Academy, and more. The show will be hosted by Titus Burgess and Julianne Hough from Walt Disney World. Due to circumstances this year, there will be no parade performances for anything from Disneyland. Ha! I wonder why. Because they're still closed. So,
it's sad.
Your performers include Titus Burgess and Julianne Hough. They're going to sing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Becky G is going to sing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Becky G? No, not Becky, Becky G.
Becky G. Florida A&M University Gospel Choir, Joy to the World. Ooh, that'll be good. John Batiste, It's All Right from Soul and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Kedron Bryant with the Florida A&M University Gospel Choir, Someday at Christmas. Maddie and Tay, Holly Jolly Christmas, and Christmas Baby Please Come Home.
I always thought that was Tay and Maddie. I never thought it was Maddie and Tay, John. I'm sorry. I got that messed up.
You know, it is what it is. Titus Burgess, This Christmas, Tori Kelly with the A&M University Gospel Cry, Let It Snow, and Trevor Jackson, The Christmas Song. So that sounds interesting.
Speaking of Tay, John, you see, like, all the Tay-Tay fans, as they call it, the Taylor Swift fans, her going nuts over that guy buying her songbook, and now she's going to redo all of her songs so the guy can't make any money off it. Like, why didn't she buy her own songbook? You understand? I mean, this is the problem with everybody now. So, under that logic, George Lucas should make a new Star Wars to stick it to Disney for buying Star Wars from him.
I guess that's the mentality, right?
You understand what I'm saying? Like it's like she could have bought her own songbook. Like, everybody, all the Tay-Tay fans feel bad for her because this guy stole her songbook. And she's remastering every single song to try to blank this guy over. And it's like, it's so sad. And they feel bad for her. So, again, George, go out, create a whole new – he should make The Mandalorian – and make his own, what do you think, John? New Star Wars?
We'll just call him the Mando.
Yeah. And what, John Lasseter right now, he should start making knockoffs of all the Disney movies. They're remaking Toy Story, don't you think?
Oh, speaking of Toy Story, did you see, and it's not even a preview, it's just the fact that it's coming out. They're going to do a Buzz Lightyear movie with his origin story.
Yeah, I seen that, John. That was another thing
really
now.
Cool.
So that looks awesome.
That's a good idea. I like that, so.
No, dude, their list goes on and on and on. I mean, they have, like I said, Don Cheadle's character. What's his face? What's the one with the arrows?
Hawkeye.
Yeah, he's supposed to have a story, a show. I mean, it goes on and on. There's multiple things going to be breaking from Star Wars. I mean, it. They had a major announcement. Disney Plus, I will say, they're going to be doing a ton of feature series on there, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, a lot of good entertainment coming out. That's for sure.
Did you download Mulan? Not Mulan. Yeah, Mulan.
Yeah, I downloaded it. I haven't had a chance to start watching it yet, but yeah, I've got it on the tablet. So
good. Did you see my Disney Christmas tree, John?
Yes, very nice, Doug. Very nice.
And speaking of that, I actually bought a new Mulan ornament to go on there yesterday, John.
Oh, look at you.
I broke out some plum wine and put my new Disney ornaments on there, John, because that's what tough guys do.
Every little boy dreams of sugar plums at Christmas time.
Yes. Sugar plums, and I put a new Mulan action figure on the tree.
All right.
Oh, John. Anywho, what's next? Spice Road Table. We went over that. Main Street USA West Bypass preparation. What's that, John?
Let's find out. Magic Kingdom looks to be preparing to add a second Main Street USA bypass on the western side of the park. Work began on this a couple of years ago with the removal of the fountain that stood between Casey's Corner and the First Aid Center. Prior to the shutdown, the area was covered in construction scrims. Work was completed in mid-November, leaving a wide, clear path to move guests backstage and into Town Square at the front of the park. A similar bypass has been in operation for several years on the eastern side of the park, where some basic theming landscaping was installed to hide some of the views backstage. It isn't clear yet if something similar will be done on the western side. And so it sounds like another way to shuttle people from probably the adventure side, so you don't have to walk down Main Street on those busy nights. So that would be that would alleviate some of the overcrowding on Main Street. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still wondering whatever happened to that old movie theater and everything they were supposed to put back there, remember?
Yeah, I think that all that got scratched.
I'll be honest with you, I wish they would, like, okay, how about this, John? Tell me if I'm crazy, which you probably think I will. What if they had another entrance that went through that way and they made it like a Futureland Main Street that went to Tomorrowland?
It would be different, that's for sure.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, make the Main Street of the future to be another exit going through where Tron is and all that. If they put up, and it would wrap, like, where Tron wraps around it all, maybe another road leads down that, a second Main Street that would head out, that would have stores and stuff, but it would all be futuristic, like Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Would that be cool?
Yeah, it'd be different. So.
Yeah. Some way to get more people out, because Main Street USA is way too packed.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. And even with these bypasses and stuff, you still have everybody congregating at one exit. But at least if you use these two exits, then you're not going to have the people stopping and turning around to look at the castle one last time and stuff like that, while other people are just desperate to get out. So.
Yeah. Well, like when me and Brenda were under distress and we knew we weren't doing any shopping, just get me the hell out of here.
Yes.
So... Guardians of the Galaxy still on the way. You can see plywood on top of the building where they're adding more of the decorative shields and stuff like that on top of the building. But that's probably going to be open spring of 2021 too, I could see, John.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Tron is backed up a little bit. I don't think that'll be until the end of the year, but I'm hoping Ratatouille is like January, maybe Guardians of the Galaxy is March, April, something like that. So, I don't know. I'm really excited for all these attractions. Although, I was probably as excited about the silly bridge over by the Grand Floridian as just about anything. But,
dude, I look at this picture of the whole water being drained where the Liberty Bell is, and the construction worker down there by the track. And I know everybody will think I'm stupid, but I would like to see them close it in one side and the other, put it in dry dock, like water right in the center there where the guy's standing, John, up to the dock there, and fill all the rest in and use it for space for something else.
Yeah, obviously they don't have any plans on that anytime soon because they're redoing the entire track for the riverboat at this time. And I like the riverboat. I mean, it's an enjoyable experience, but that is a whole lot of property they could really use for something else. But
again, I love the look of it. And if it wasn't for how crowded the park gets, like right now it's not a big deal because crowds are down. But I just look at the crowds all the time, and that boat is they okay, then they should put a second or third boat on there and just run them, like put three boats out there to eat more people up, because that ain't a people eater. It doesn't eat the amount of people per hour that it should.
Well, no, because nobody wants to, especially if you're at the Magic Kingdom, there's no 5 and 7 year old kids going, oh my goodness, the one thing I want to do is ride the ferry boat. So,
how about they design something from Cars or something like that, boat wise?
I don't know. For us older folks, it's an enjoyable experience.
Yes.
So.
But what if they put a different boat, John? Like something maybe now that the kids would like.
I don't think everything has to be kid attractive. So.
No, I love it, John. I'm just saying it's sad because it's beautiful and it's good for us, but I think the Magic Kingdom needs more room. It's so crowded all the time anymore before pre-COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's crowded now, but for different reasons. So, because the lines are everywhere. So, but I mean, I don't know. I don't mind the ferry boat. I like it. And I'm going to have to put myself in with Tomator on this one. I know that's his favorite attraction, right? So.
Yeah. And John, let me preface this by saying, I love it too. They need to do something with the island. There's too much space being wasted there. And I know I keep saying it, but you have to admit, nobody uses that.
No, and, you know, while this is drained, wouldn't it be a good time to put a tunnel in? So, heck, if they do keep the island, well, then you could have shuttle service to get food and stuff over to the island. So, if nothing else, put a restaurant over there or something to attract more people over there.
Yeah.
And if you had a tunnel, then you would be able to shuttle food and cast members and stuff back and forth without having to wait for a raft to go across. So.
Yeah, and a horrible raft, too. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, again, I've said it 100 times, but I can't put my 80-year-old mother on that raft.
No, and Lisa doesn't like to even get on it. And I'm pretty sure Lisa and Brenda are about the same way when it comes to crowds and stuff like that. You don't like to be stuck right next to Poppy that's been sweating all day in the Magic Kingdom, you know? So.
No. How about they make a bigger ferry that just goes back and forth somehow that holds a lot of people?
Yeah, and I always wondered, at some point, if they do keep Tom Sawyer's Island, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they get rid of that whole raft idea and just put up a giant pedestrian bridge, you know, that would maybe the ferry boat could go underneath or something, because that would just make a lot more sense.
Yeah, how about do like an old school style, something that would go up like, what is it, the London Bridge? Know how the London Bridge has the two towers?
Yeah.
How about you do like towers like that to go up way high? It would be a beautiful lookout over top the park.
Yeah. And I mean, evidently, you know, looking at the parking garages at Disney Springs, they've gotten pretty good at construction of pedestrian bridges at this point.
Yeah.
So take that knowledge over to Magic Kingdom and put one up over on the, take a little bit of area on the other side of Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and put a, you know, the entrance over there somewhere.
Yeah, they need to do something because that land needs to be used.
Yeah.
Concept art showing the statue of Walt Disney that will be at Dreamers Point in Epcot. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. This sucks. Disney now testing My Disney Experience shop in store mobile checkout. Our buddy Jim Tucker will be happy about that.
Yeah, he likes doing that mobile ordering stuff.
Yeah, I think he likes it even more because it burns me up. Don't you think?
Yeah, there might be a certain joy experience in the mode out of that.
I know he loves me, but he does enjoy putting a spur in my boot. You know what I'm saying, John?
There's a snake in my boot.
But he is good to us. Jim, we really appreciate all the retweets and tweets that you do for our show. Thank you so much, and hope you and your family have a beautiful and blessed Christmas, John, don't you?
Absolutely, all of our wonderful friends of the show, and I'm so looking forward to January 4th when I'm finally done with training. Doug, this is going to be longer than boot camp by the time I'm done with my bus training. It's longer than boot camp when I went in the Navy. The amount of time for this. So,
but I bet you wasn't as hard as boot camp, though, John.
Not even close, but nonetheless, that's a different world, but nonetheless, I've never had a such in-depth training of any sort at this point, and it amazes me that there's people that I've worked with that aren't Disney fans at all. Did I tell you the woman that I trained with last week? She didn't even know where Pirates of the Caribbean was. So
she should be fired for that, John.
And she's a super sweet lady, a nice woman.
I don't care. I'd still fire her.
She enjoys taking her kids to Disney World, but I'm like, yeah, I just came over from Pirates. Pirates, where's that? You know, Pirates of the Caribbean, there was like four movies after it. You know, it's one of the most.
Yeah, with that creepy, attraction. Horrible human being, Johnny Depp, with the British accent now.
How do you not know where Pirates of the Caribbean is? Is it one of them ones where you shoot the things? No, that's Buzz Lightyear's. Amazing. But, and she wasn't all that old. She's like in her mid-50s. So.
Oh, she was young, John.
Yeah. Well, for bus drivers, actually, I'm the kid. So that's great.
I can't wait to join you because I'll be the good-looking one.
Well, you might be, Doug.
Yeah. Do you know that?
Not saying anything about my fellow bus drivers, but yeah. You might be.
That's Magnum PI driving that bus. Yes, that's me. But
Or Tom Selleck.
Yeah. Well, me and Tom, we have the same problems growing up with our rugged good looks, you know, John. But you didn't answer, though, that creep. You know that creep that speaks with the British accent, Johnny Depp, that was born in Kentucky? Born in Owensboro, Kentucky, and he speaks like a Brit now. If that doesn't show you what a phony piece of garbage he is, nothing will. How do you get born in Kentucky, live most of your life in America, and all of a sudden now you have a British accent?
I don't know. Actually, speaking of Pirates, I worked with one of the college kids, girls, that was on Pirates, and she liked to talk with a British accent. I guess she thought it enhanced her character or something. I don't know, but she was from Illinois and tried to speak with an English accent all the time. And every once in a while, somebody from Britain would come by and look at her like she was bizarre because she didn't do it very well either.
Yeah. So. My sister-in-law lived in North Carolina for 20 years, and she still talks like she's from New Jersey. I mean, she'll give you a y'all every once in a while, most of the time, because of that. But it isn't like she totally went Southern on me, John.
No. It's hard to shake your New Jersey accents and attitudes. So,
dude, you could put me in Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina for the rest of my life, and I'll still speak this stupid like I am right now. You won't get the jersey out of me.
When you're a cast member down here, you can tell automatically, especially transplants when they come down here, as to where they're usually from. So if they're like real peaceful and quiet, yeah, you're probably somewhere from the Midwest. But if you're over there causing trouble and a stink, oh, there's a Jersey guy.
Well, don't let New York and Philadelphia off the hook either, John.
Oh,
they're just
God,
as creepy as we are.
Yeah.
And Bostonians have their own very special pain in the butt. Don't get me wrong, they're very passive aggressive themselves, Bostonians. They're known for their Bostonians might be the biggest troublemakers on the planet.
Well, and it's easy to pick on, or not necessarily pick on them, but you pick them out easy, both them and the New Yorkers, because especially if you're in Tampa for too long, because there's so many Yankees and Red Sox fans rolling around all the time to see the Rays play. So.
Like, I still wonder to this day, because Dennis is ornery as hell. Evan has a little, he's a sweetheart, his beautiful family, but he has a little toot to him. But Tommy and Judith are like the salt of the earth. They were born in the wrong place. They live in the wrong place, John. I can't believe Boston still hasn't corrupted them, though.
Nah, maybe they live far enough outside the city limits. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know what it is. They. I think it's all that pixie dust that Judith gets from Tinkerbell. Keeps them happy.
Maybe that's what it is.
Anywho, room interiors revealed for Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. They look really nice, don't they, John?
Yeah, it's exciting to see, I guess, refurbs coming, and that Cove Hotel is going up too, so
Yeah,
have a
and
whole
they laid
lot of
off a
options right
gazillion
over there.
people too.
Yeah, and the construction's still going on that resort, so.
Adjacent to Disney Swan and Dolphin Resort, Walt Disney World Swan Reserve will soon be joining Epcot's Disney Hollywood Studios. Yeah, they changed the name from the Cove to Epcot to the Swan Reserve.
Okay, so it's now the Swan Reserve.
Yeah.
Very well.
But I'll tell you what, the rooms do look nice. I love that hotel, John.
I've never stayed there. We've walked through there several times, but no, I've never stayed. So.
The food is awesome. They have a lot of really good chefs in there, but I really love that resort. I would stay there again. The prices are good. You get more for your money there with all the amenities than you do at most Disney resorts.
I think the one thing that's held us back from staying there or staying a lot of places other than Disney is the add-on fees, because for the longest time Disney didn't do that. You know, if they said your price was $129.95, it was $129.95. But now, I mean, I guess now they're almost as bad as everywhere else, but the resort tax fee, the parking fee, and all of a sudden your room is not $129.95, it's $178.85 or something like that with the add-on fees, and that crap drives me nuts.
Well, And Disney, instead of robbing you blind without you knowing it and just hiding it all one huge price, now they still give you one huge price and then tell you we're going to bang you over the head for another $150 for parking this week.
Yep.
New arrival exclusive Magic Bands now available on My Disney Experience. Oh, they're cool, John. There's a bunch of neat ones. Disney Dad, yeah. I like that one. Be good for
Christmas
you.
Silver and gold. I guess these are add-ons for what you have. Yeah, they're neat.
Yeah, they're very nice. What else we have here, John? Buy a mini Loungefly backpack, get a mini bow wristlet free at Disney Springs at the Loungefly Resort. I mean, Loungefly store. Walt Disney World surveying guests about upcoming reservation at Disney parks. What's that about, John?
I don't know. Let's take a look. New Walt Disney World survey is asking guests about upcoming reservations and what would most likely cause them to cancel their trips. So, it's, I guess they're trying to figure out why people would cancel. So.
Yeah, I was telling that girl the other day, because I have a couple of people that want me to book something coming up for the spring. And the one thing I was telling them is the one thing Disney is good at, not one thing, they're good at a lot of stuff. I criticize about the stuff, but they are good about most, is they are always good about refunds and giving your money back as far as reservations, as far as the room. Now, I know the DVC stuff was ridiculous, what happened with that. But things seem to have worked their way out. But usually if you book a trip and cancel a few days before, they're usually pretty good about it, John. They don't really hold your feet to the fire.
Yep.
And now with this whole COVID thing, they guarantee your money back if you're canceled because of COVID. So.
Yeah, and I mean, well, speaking of that, they're very proactive with cast members when it comes to COVID. Every morning we get temp checked when we go into work, and then they ask you a series of questions. You have to do your pre-check before you leave the house, make sure you don't have a fever, and you haven't been in contact with anybody, so you have to answer the questions correctly. And like I said, get your temp checked. And they actually, if you do have any symptoms and stuff like that, you can call in. And if you actually do have COVID, obviously stay home, but you don't get the points for missing days. Because, you know, we have a point system here where if you call in, you get points against your record card, and at 3 points, you can get let go. But if you do have to call in because you have COVID, you don't get the points. So
oh,
it's actually
that's good.
A very fair method. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we had a bunch of people test positive on our job. I mean, two tested positive, but like 17 are out. But
yeah,
the thing
yeah.
is, it really pisses me off that they won't tell you the people to have it because of the old HEPA rules. And I don't think this applies to this. How can you contact trace if nobody tells you who the hell had it?
And at what point does public safety override your right to, I mean, when you think the public welfare is a little more important than knowing something? And this isn't, I mean,
you didn't get a disease from doing something, doing the nasty or something bad. Nothing to be ashamed of.
This isn't like herpes. I mean,
no.
You know, not to say that there's
anything.
Obviously, there is something wrong with herpes, but not to say that people that have herpes are bad or horrible people or anything. But it does have a certain reputation with it. Yeah. And but this isn't that. This is just a cold. Well, I mean, it's more than a cold, but you just got it like a cold. So it's no big deal. So I don't understand. What if somebody asked you if you had a cold, would you have a problem telling them you had a cold?
No, weird. So. Like, well, some people do. I never get sick.
Yes.
That idiot.
That attitude,
but even with you said herpes, John, a lot of people can get that from ways that it's sad. You get things that you, there's nothing to be ashamed of is what my point is. Just let me know.
Yeah. Well, all right. How about mono?
Yeah.
You know, back in the kissing disease or
but
whatever.
Even that, so. I would want people to tell because how contagious it was.
Yep.
It just stop it. There's nothing wrong with knowing that you have this. I mean, if I know you have it, I'll give you prayers to get you better. You understand what I'm saying? The more people pulling for you.
I want to know if I was in contact with you. I need to go get tested so I can let other people know. So, yeah.
So they sent 17 people home, and you still don't know who had it. You follow me?
Yeah.
So I could have worked next to them. And what, you know, it's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, that Disney did this for a while. Now they're not doing it. Walt Disney World no longer placing digital face masks over maskless. Did you see people were doing that?
No.
On the rides, like John, like my wife used to laugh, like because this is how you know a Disney fanatic. Like every one of the rides that have pictures on it, I knew where the camera was.
Yeah.
And I would go to Brenda, the camera's right there, and she, how did you know that? Because I'm a Disney nut. That's how I know it. But most people were dropping the mask to get their picture taken on Splash Mountain and Dinosaur and stuff like that. And Disney was putting a digital mask over on to ruin the picture for them.
Oh, good God.
So now they're not doing that no more, they're saying.
But it's I don't know. I haven't even bothered. I mean, I've told you before that the main reason that me and Lisa are still paying for my annual pass was to get pictures taken, and with this going on, we don't need a picture with us with a mask on. So I think I'm going to end up getting rid of our annual pass for now, and then maybe get it in a year or two when everything resumes normally. Because, yeah, I have no interest in getting pictures with masks on. And I realize some people this is their once, you know, every 5 year trip, and you have to and stuff like that. But fortunately, I'm in a different position. I can wait a year and get a lot better pictures.
Aren't they, John, with PhotoPass allowing you to drop the mask in that area?
No.
I thought they were now.
No, nobody can. No, you're not allowed to at all. So I mean,
so you
got to
eat
fine
through the mask too.
Huh?
Again, this is where all the rules are ridiculous. So you can go sit down and eat in a area, and drink and sit and drink, but you can't stand by yourself in front of the tea cart there where you get your picture taken. Or like, remember me, you, and Dave got our picture taken with Snow White, wasn't it?
Belle
at Epcot. Like, they could take your picture there without the character by yourself, and it won't infringe on anybody's safety. Am I wrong?
You can't get a picture taken with a character right now.
Point is, so you're getting it by yourself from PhotoPass.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you couldn't stand in that little alcove area there by World Showcase by yourself, or most of these areas where the pictures are taken, nobody's around you. They could set up areas where you could take a picture without a mask on.
They could, but it's a rule, and they will get on you if they see you. And the photo pass people are definitely not going to let you take your mask off. If you're walking around Royal Showcase and you see it all the time, obviously people stop and have their husband or their wife or somebody take a picture of them and the family, and they take their masks off. And I mean, even if I was a cast member out there, I'm not necessarily going to say anything to somebody.
As long as they put it right back on.
Yeah, but
and they're by themselves.
Yeah, one of the managers certainly will. So, yeah. I mean, they're under guidelines of what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do, so they're going to do it. So.
No, I just think I think they should have photo pass areas that you could drop your mask. And the photographers all the time is more than 6 feet away from you.
Yep.
They could have, especially now, like, look at restaurant. With Marrakesh and all that being closed, they could set up a couple areas back there in the back of each of the countries, an area to get your picture taken. It's outside. I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody, you know, is thirsting for that picture of in the back of the Moroccan pavilion.
I'll tell you what, the buildings are beautiful. I wouldn't mind having my picture taken in front of the Italy or Japan pavilions, or standing out in front of World Showcase Lagoon across the lagoon, but now the barges are there. I'll ruin that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you get my point, John. There's areas outside that you could, in front of the Tree of Life, they could mark off an area that you could take your picture without your mask on.
I mean, and it's not only just the food areas, obviously, where people can take your mask off, but they have what they call the relaxing areas,
yeah,
where you can just sit and you don't have to have a drink or anything. You can relax, you can stay there. But I guess their thought process with those situations, and when you're stationary and eating or drinking, is you're in your own little environment, which you would basically be if you were getting a picture taken. So I don't know. I mean, they got rules for this and not rules for that. So, but whatever. I'm just ready for it all to be over with.
Yeah, me too.
Please,
John.
Get over with. Please.
Waffle Booth returns with new turkey and gingerbread dishes. The Waffle Booth looks good. The food looks good. Remodel rooms coming to Boulder Ridge, John, at Disney's Wilderness Lodge. That's exciting.
Didn't
for
that
you.
Place just open?
Yeah. Yeah, they're remodeling some of the rooms. I wonder if they're going to make them character rooms, John. Let's see. Remodel rooms coming to Boulder Ridge Villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge in 2022. Soft goods updated announced for Grand Floridian, Polynesian Beach Club, and more. During their condominium associated meeting, Disney Vacation Club revealed updated schedule for refurbishing and refreshing various resort villas in the next 2 years. In 2021, three resorts will have small soft goods refreshes, which involve updating wall coverings, floor coverings, linens, and decors. These refreshes will happen at Alani, Disney's Vacation Club Villas, Villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, Disney's Poly Villas and Bungalows, Disney's Beach Club Villas, and Disney's Poly Village Resort. So, all these resorts are getting small makeovers, John, which is good. Keep them fresh, clean. That's what you want. For the amount of money you guys pay, they should get them all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And they're working a lot on Saratoga right now. A lot of those buildings are getting refurbed and new furniture, and they're doing thorough refurbs on those, though. All new furniture altogether, you know, couches and love seats and the whole bit and those. So,
they needed it.
Yeah, some of those were getting a little long in the tooth. So, and you see this new Voices of Liberty show and vibrant and Vivido food studio, plus old favorites coming to the taste of Epcot International Festival of the Arts. Voices of Liberty, who have been performing for the taste of Epcot International Festival of the Holidays, will perform the Disney Songbook in America Gardens Theater. New showcase, the Disney Songbook, will celebrate the artistry of Disney composers and lyricists. A new food studio this year will be Vibrant and Vivido Food Studio, located between France and Morocco. It will feature a chilled seafood cocktail with octopus, scallop, shrimp, black garlic aioli, tomato coconut sauce, and serrano lime oil, and blue corn pupusa stuffed with cheese and topped with shredded pork, gohula, and arbol chili sauce, cabbage slaw, and anhi amarillo crema. That sounds pretty good. The World Showcase Art-Defying Gravity and Visual Art and Performance will return. Art-Defying Gravity is a spectacle of thrilling acts, while Visual Art and Performance features a visual artist painting favorite Disney characters in a matter of minutes. The Wonderful Walk of Colorful Cuisine, where guests will use their Festival Passport to purchase 5 food items and receive a complimentary treat, will also be returning. So will Figment's Brush with the Master's Scavenger Hunt. So it sounds good, and that'll probably be the next chance we have to get to Epcot, because I couldn't book us a day or anything for next weekend. So Sunday we're celebrating Christmas, and Saturday we kind of wanted to go out and at least see some stuff. And I guess the only thing we're going to be able to do is go to Disney Springs. So, but at least we'll see some Christmas stuff. So
yeah, I'm dude. I It's sad, though. I mean, I'm excited about hearing about Springs and the Christmas Tree Tarot and what you guys do, but it's sad you couldn't get in Epcot.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, obviously it's close to the close to Christmas, and all my passes were blacked out, not just my main gate pass, but my annual pass and everything. I couldn't get a day for anything, so, but, yeah, it's all right.
Judith and all her friends are going to be upset, too. Run Disney transitions 2021 Star Wars Rival Run weekend to a virtual race, so I wonder if all the marathon stuff is going to be virtual this year again.
It's going to be for a while from what I've heard, but yeah, there's definitely plans on obviously stuff will come back. The Run Disney is a huge factor out there, so at some point there definitely will be marathons and stuff again. They even opened that, we talked about it last week, that new run store at Disney Springs, so it's definitely going to be back. And I'm just hoping by the time they do, I'll have enough seniority where I can get those days off, because I just don't even want to bother with that traffic. So
But I don't blame you, John. So you're going to learn to drive before all this crap comes. But yeah, we spoke earlier about the Disney Plus stuff. I'll go real quick over this because I know you got to go. You got plenty to do. But Lucasfilms teases new Star Wars Disney Plus series. The, what is that? Acolyte. And it's supposed to be based on all the people from the dark side of the Force.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. New Star Wars Rogue Squadron, the untitled Star Wars film by, what is it, Taika Waititi?
That sounds good enough to me.
Star Wars announces new Lando series for Disney+. Marvel Studios gives us an update on Hawkeye, She-Hawk. Now the Hawk is going to be a woman. I mean, everything has to be changed, John. Nothing can stay the same, huh?
I guess Dr. Banner passed.
Well, why can't Wonder Woman be a man then, John? No, I'm just kidding. Pocahontas should be a guy.
Yeah, I don't understand why they just can't come up with original characters. Why do they have to change the ones that we've had? But
and I'm all in for women's rights. I want a woman president. I don't care. But the point is, there's certain things like, why can't Wonder Woman just stay a woman? Why can't the characters be who they are, John? And I was excited. Marvel was Captain Marvel. I enjoyed it. It was a great movie. I told you that. But I don't understand. Do you want She-Hulk, John?
I don't know if the woman from what's her name, the lady in Mandalorian. Gina, how do you say her name?
Carano?
Yeah, maybe she could play.
Or maybe make Ronda Rousey She-Hawk.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey's not big, though. I mean, she's very fit, but I don't think she's that big. But, you know, that Gina girl.
Well, neither was what's-his-face. Neither's the guy who played the Hawk. What's his name? Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo is almost like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience small.
Yeah. No, I'm going back to the 70s with
Bill Bixby wasn't big.
Yeah, no, but Lou Ferrigno, however you say his damn name.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. But Bill Bixby was the main character, Lou Ferrigno was the Hawk. But now they're just going to computer generate whoever it is.
Yeah, it's going to be CG. So
yeah. So, but it's like, and what woman wants to go? Who's going to want to be known as She-Hawk? I wouldn't want that on me. I don't know about you.
You don't want that moniker?
No. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be smart, but so then I'm going to start fighting. I want Tinkerbell to be a man. I want the next Pocahontas to be a man. I want Moana to be. I mean, it's like, just like you're saying, John, make more characters, but they don't all have to change. I mean, it's getting out of hand, John, don't you think?
Yeah, well, it is what it is. So.
It's stupid.
I don't know, and Hulk was always one of the Hulk was always, that's who it is. You know, it wasn't one of those that got the mantle got passed down to other characters like Green Lantern and stuff like that. I mean, actually, to me, a character like Batman would actually make a lot more sense as giving that to a woman.
Yeah, there's a Batwoman.
You know?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, because Bruce Wayne could pass that on to somebody else, but why would Hulk's powers pass to anybody else? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, just like Spider-Man. So what's he going to do? Make his wife get bit by a spider to make Spider- Here, get bit, honey. Come here. There's this toxic spider that has a lot of poison in it. I want you to get bit by it and have my problem.
I guess that it goes back a long way, though, because there's been Supergirl, there's been Superboy, there's been...
That's fine, but just the Hulk is the Hulk. Why does it have to be She-Hulk? What's he going to do? So what's this woman do? Get put into the same thing and blown up like he does with the chemical lab?
I shouldn't say it, but I will. Once a month, she's going to be a monster.
Yeah. That's just wrong, John. John Peters said that, not Doug.
I'm just saying.
See, Judith, John isn't always the good one.
Come on, you were thinking it.
No, I was not, actually. You pulled that one out, John. Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special now, John. Now you're going to have them roaming around as for Disney Plus. Peter Pan and Wendy, a live action. So why ain't Wendy Peter Pan and Peter Pan Wendy, John?
I don't know. Maybe they will be.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe Wendy will be the guy and Peter Pan will be the girl in this one. Loki's coming to Disney Plus, John. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, John. Black Panther 2. 2021 Disney Plus price increases effective March 21st. No kidding. What's Disney Plus going to be like? $37 a month now?
No, I think it's going up a buck.
Look at this. I love this. Doug Days coming to Disney Plus, an original.
There you go. Days for Doug.
Yeah, I can't wait for the new Lightyear. Like you were saying, Chris Evans, the voice, the new. The new Buzz Lightyear character, that's going to be pretty cool. I wonder why they just couldn't use Tim. What? Because Tim's political feelings are different than Disney's, they're not going to use him as Buzz Lightyear?
I don't know. Maybe they're just going for a more youthful voice or something.
I just think, no, dude. He got kicked off ABC because of that. His show is the highest rated second highest rated comedy at the time behind The Big Bang Theory. And they booted him off and Fox picked him up and put him on Fox. So they kicked him off for his political beliefs, and I think that's why he's not in this. That's just my opinion. Because, I mean, I'm not being smart, John. What was the other character that changed? Like Mufasa without... what's his face? Did it seem right the last movie without Mufasa?
Oh,
Lion King. Yeah. Without James Earl Jones. Did that sound right without him?
No.
And Matthew Broderick's voice should have been Simba. Yeah, am I wrong?
Yeah.
It was wrong. Now, you're telling me we know Tim is Buzz. Is this going to be any good? I mean, are you not going to not miss Tim's voice? Isn't Tim's voice Buzz Lightyear?
Yeah, and it is. Unless, I mean, they're going, I don't know what the angle is.
John, I don't care what way you are, and I know I got my you-know-what's broken for being political one way or the other. I'm not about this. My whole thing is he's not on this because of that, and I think it's wrong because he is Buzz Lightyear. Who do you think, is it 100% political or not? Is it going to sound right without Tim?
It'll be an adjustment, that's for sure.
Now, do you think if they do Woody's younger years, they're going to change Tom Hanks' voice, John?
I hope not.
Okay. Would Woody be Woody without Tom Hanks?
No.
Tom Hanks is a Democrat, which Disney believes in and didn't break his their trust as far as having a different belief than they do, so they won't get rid of him. It's just sad. It's just... This shouldn't be political. It should just be about what's best for the show, and I'm telling you, it ain't like Tim Allen did anything wrong. He just has a different belief, but they're going to change his voice. And Chris Evans' voice is nothing like Tim Allen's. I'm sorry. No Fantastic Four. Wonder who's going to be the thing, a woman? And Mr. Invisible will be a man?
Elasta boy. Yeah.
But seriously, are they going to make the thing, the big boulder, a woman now, John?
Maybe.
But anyway, they announced Marvel announces new Fantastic Four film to be directed by John Watts. So I like the Fantastic Fours, didn't you?
They were okay. They weren't my favorites.
So. Yeah, I enjoyed them. I thought they were funny. So, anything else, John?
No, I think that's about it. Just looking forward to getting close to Christmas here. So.
Yeah, we wish everybody a very, very, very Merry Christmas. And we were talking about, we'll be wishing you all a Merry Christmas next Friday again. And John, hopefully we'll figure something out. Hopefully we get your new bus schedule. Hopefully with these 200 people, you get a better pick of your route.
Yeah, I don't think so. They're not even going to be part of the bid process. So I'm actually bidding next Friday for what route. And basically the only thing that's going to be left for me is what days I want off. And it's not going to be Saturdays and Sundays, that's for sure. So I'll probably end up – my choices will probably be all your shifts are gone. You can either have Tuesday, Thursday off or Wednesday, Tuesday. So,
to do, John, is switch the broadcast day to the days you're off that week.
Yeah, we'll try to figure something out. Yeah, there's very well possibility, though, that all my shifts might also start at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, in which case I could definitely record in the morning before I win or something.
Or we could record you on the way in like we did there for months.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out. We'll keep it going.
Yeah, because that's really the only thing I'm going to be able to determine, but I'm going to be what they call put in the pool, and that's just I'll fill in wherever they need me, and that's most likely going to be afternoon, evening shifts.
Just hope nobody pees in the pool, John.
I hope not. I really, really do. Yeah, at a 1,455, I'm 1,454. Good for me.
You're not on – what is it? What the one in the draft is – irrelevant or whatever, Mr. Irrelevant. At least you're not that. The last pick is Mr. Irrelevant.
He's Mr. I had to take medical leave and lost all my seniority, even though I had been a trainer and was there for 15 years.
That's shame.
Yeah, poor guy.
Poor guy. Poor Presley here. We shaved him yesterday because his hair is getting really knotty and stickers because he wants to fight us every time we brush him. So he got shaved. The little boy's all itchy and scratchy. So he's even more miserable than usual, John.
Oh, that sounds like a bundle of joy.
Oh, yeah. Mister, let me show you my teeth. And they're sharp, John. But anyway, you go enjoy your week. I'm going to go itch and scratch Presley, try to make him happy. Everybody be kind to one another. And we will talk to you next week, John. Say goodbye, John.
All right. Bye-bye, folks. Have a great week.
Bye. Well, that's it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools. And there's no tab here at the Main Street Pub. As usual, drinks are on the house. But if you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. Also, you can find us on Twitter at WDW Main Street and Facebook at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. Also, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. You can find our fine sponsors over there, Elite Vacation Homes, David's Vacation Club Rentals, Scooterlando, American Tourist Travel. And again, guys, please be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.